early on, I realized that if I'm not happy, I cannot keep them happy. I cannot keep my family happy. I cannot keep my children happy. If I'm not reflecting on who I am being, I always project it on the children and say, they are not okay or they are not perfect.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't want that to happen because they must enjoy their childhood and they must grow up to know who they are in the core of their being.
Correct.
So because I shifted, I saw that, you know, they were peaceful to a large extent.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience some of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. Today is episode two in the series where we celebrate mothers in the month of May for Mother's Day. And today we are joined by a very special lady, Deepa Mahesh, a leadership coach and facilitator with 18 plus years of corporate experience. She's also a theater artist, a mandala artist, a eurythmy artist, and is basically a lady who dons multiple hats and with such efficiency. Everyone, please welcome Deepa Mahesh.
Thank you, Aishwarya. Thank you for this welcome.
Thank you so much. And I think one point I forgot to mention is that Deepa is the mother of two brilliant, brilliant boys. Both are my personal favorites. I have a relationship with both of these young, such lovely, sweet boys. And I think seeing you raise them, their relationship with you has been inspiring for me because I know that you are an ambitious woman, a career woman. You do so many, many, many things while also taking on the responsibility of everything that comes with having a home and a family and raising two kids. So before we get into everything that that throws at you, what I want to know is, was motherhood ever a choice for you? Did you ever have the option to say that you didn't want kids?
No. So I remember when I was growing up, because I am and my brother, we are two in our family.
Mm-hmm.
I always grow up saying that when I get married, I'll have two children, one boy and one girl.
Mm-hmm.
So it was never an option in my mind to not have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like two of us and two kids are a complete family. So when I got married, I knew like I will get into it not too soon, but I knew it's coming. And somehow this one girl and one boy was there in my mind. It now all everything sounds so silly, but yeah, it was a complete family.
No, I think a lot of people want that, like to have a complete family where you are two, hum do and hamare do.
Hamare do.
Correct. So you didn't get your hamare do, except like it's just two boys. do you
the
wish
first
you had
one?
Yeah,
the first one. I really wanted a girl, and in my household also they're all boys. Mm-hmm. So my husband is the only child, you know, and no women in the house.
Okay.
So everybody wanted a girl. And then when my oldest son Aditya, you know, came to the world, I think when he came, I forgot that I wanted a girl. It's just such a beautiful bundle of joy in my heart. Oh my God. I think it's still date, being a mother is the best moment for me in my mm-hmm. life. Like mm-hmm. I can never forget that moment when I held the baby in my arms. And the second time I held her, it just felt like new again.
Mm-hmm.
It never felt like, oh, I had this experience, I've gone through it. Yeah, it was easier,
mm-hmm.
but yet had its own share of difficulties, you know?
Yeah, I mean, each child, both your children are so different from each other.
Very, polar yeah. opposite.
Yeah, they have such strong individual like poles guiding yes. them to what they're doing. Actually, so what can you tell me were your biggest challenges that you faced in raising your children as an ambitious and successful career woman? you've done so much. And I know personally that you spend so much of your time on your solopreneurship, which is Purna Wellbeing. What can you say have been your biggest challenges in as a working mom?
There are external challenges and internal challenges. Mm-hmm. And over a period of time, I realized that some of my internal challenges. But the external challenges were that, you know, I have two children. I'm supposed to raise them by giving time, giving attention. And as for the external world, giving time and attention means sitting with them, doing studies with them, and all of that.
Hmm.
And for me, I never understood because it just doesn't come to me.
Hmm.
Simple thing my mother-in-law used to tell me that when I sleep, hold the baby tight and sleep.
Hmm.
But that's not the way I can.
Okay.
And I could never understand that, you know, how do I tell her that that's not me? Because I never understood. And the inner challenge is a huge guilt. Because I didn't do as per or align as per what others wanted me to do, I always had this guilt. Oh, I'm not giving this to my child. Like my older one, I was with him for 3 months. And then I went back because I just joined work. I don't join the Aditya Birla Group. Neither they wanted to let me go, nor I wanted to leave the job because
right.
It's a great brand. So, you know, this whole guilt of, okay, I was with him only for 3 months. Everybody said you'll miss his milestones. Yes, I did miss his milestones. But today, he's going to turn 20.
Mm-hmm.
And if I look at the whole journey of my 20 years, you know, I think around when he was 7 or 8, I told myself that when Aditya turns 18, I want to be known as his friend.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a friend, because I'll still be a mother. Mm-hmm. But the essence of our relationship lies in openness,
mm-hmm.
in conversations, and being comfortable with each other in the roles and yet without roles. So, you know, the guilt was so much that I could not have clarity in exactly what I wanted to be with him.
Right.
You know, to be with them. And, you know, but over a period of time, and I would say that because I was in therapy for long years, because, you know, I wanted clarity
mm-hmm.
on each of my roles. Only then I could do many things. Because I knew for one thing that if I'm not happy, I cannot keep them happy. I cannot mm-hmm. keep my family happy. I cannot keep my children happy. There were episodes where I would lash out at them. I would mm-hmm. scream. I remember calling myself a Bhadragali. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The worst of mothers one can, you know, have. Because, and being a psychologist, I know that anger and rage is needs not met.
Yes.
So when I realized and asked myself, what are my needs that are not being met?
Mm-hmm.
My needs are, I need freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm a mother, just because I'm a wife, I cannot be bound.
Correct.
And I don't wish to be bound. So the moment I started looking at what freedom means to me and how it really plays in my life, mm-hmm. there was a period of transition, you know, where I would give them less time.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that truly what matters is quality. What truly matters is when they need, I'm available. I'm there, and not giving them a listening ear. And my youngest son comes. He's a foodie. You know.
Yeah, of course.
So he comes, and first thing he'll open the door and ask me, Amma, what's for snack? Hmm. So if I have that, you know, ready, and I'm serving his need, I'm happy. So I figured it took me some time because, you know, there is no formula for mothering.
Yes.
I'm not told this is the way I need to mother. There is no recipe book.
Correct.
I'm not told there is no training program which tells me how what's being a good mother.
Mm-hmm.
What is a good mother? God only knows. Even today, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I know the end result of what I want to be as a mother. And my younger one is 16. And when I look back today, current state, 16 and Aditya 20, I feel damn proud of myself. I just love who I am as a mother.
Mm. That's amazing. But I have a question. Did the boys ever complain that you weren't around when you were traveling so much? And even now you travel quite a bit. So have the boys ever voiced any kind of, you know, concerns or complained or just in their absolute childish innocence ever lashed out at you about that?
Never. You know, I think, again, because I understand the iceberg and I understand that what is seen from their behavior is just the tip.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% is submerged and, you know, I have to sense it. How I know they miss me.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, never talk. Whenever I travel, they never speak to me on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm back, you know, they'll wait for me.
Mm.
They will express in a way that they missed, which I have to pick up. And, even last week, I returned from a 10-day travel.
Yeah.
I had gone for teaching and I came back. I returned home at 12 o'clock. My younger son, he was waiting. I told my husband, he's make dosa and really hungry.
Hmm.
I had not picked something at the airport. I thought I'll come home and eat.
Right.
So I told Mahesh to make something. My younger one said that I will make dosa for her.
Oh.
So he had made it and he was waiting for me. It was 12. Mahesh had slept.
Hmm.
He waited. And then when I was eating, he served it to me. When I was eating, then I asked him what happened. One by one, he started telling me many things. And it was like a 45-minute nice conversation. Now, say, you know, that he could have slept, you know, but he chose to do that. And what I sense is he wanted that connect. He desired it as much as I desired it.
Yeah.
So this is it's a very nuanced way of expressing that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ask him, did you miss me? No, I didn't miss you. And boys being boys, and
boys,
they are not so expressive.
Right.
Not tell me so many in so many words. But
yeah, that is a question that I had, you know, but you don't have girls. So
yeah.
I wonder, do you think it's very different being a mother to boys and being a mother to girls?
I think because I have my friends who have girls.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and they do express, they show affection.
Right.
And I am a very affectionate person. I love to be, you know, hugged and, you know, to express physically.
Yeah.
But I dare not do that with my children because it is breach of boundaries. But when I tell them that I'll give you a foot bath or a foot massage, they're okay.
Aww.
They tell me the boundaries and I am to adhere. I'm fine, you know. Because that bit of touch, I think it's very special for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to express and to understand that expression. And I think it's a part of mothering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a part of this whole aspect of being like a mother. And I express. I tell them.
Mm.
I'm very expressive. And me,
yeah.
They are them. And it's fine.
Interesting. With your child, with your oldest now being away from home,
yeah.
Has your bond changed? Because, you know, when you live with them under the same roof, you end up spending time together. But then how do you now divide your time between work, home and Aditya?
Yes. Oh my God, my life has changed. You know, he's come much closer to me.
Really?
It's so beautiful, our bond.
Mm-hmm.
If he were to listen to this, he will not agree. But I know subtly he agrees. You know, when he was here, he would be in his room. If I go into his room, he'll say, too many people are there. Just me entering the room, he'll say, too many people are there. He is an introvert, of course.
Yeah.
But for him, like, he wants his space. But now, there are daily calls that I make. And I want to know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
In general, you know, what is he going through?
Yeah.
And he tells me everything, which... earlier, I would never have an idea what's happening in his life and what's happening in college about his subjects. He will still say that many times I've told you the same subject. I don't understand what those terms mean, but I care about what it means to you and how you go through that subject. You know, I care about that. And he knows that. He knows the essence of my connection with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in between he was telling me that I really want to come home because he's just finishing his last semester exams and he's going to, you know, come home in like 4 or 5 days now. So I told him in between, if you ever feel like you miss, you just book a ticket and come. Your money is not as important as your mental peace.
Mm.
He often tells me that you are too lenient. Even in studies, he used to tell me that you're too lenient. Other parents are not like this. But I just know that I am me. There is no point in being strict about it. It does not work with me.
I'm sure he is really grateful about the fact that he doesn't have that kind of parental pressure that other kids would generally face when it comes to studies and stuff.
In fact, now he tells me, I'm glad I studied in a Steiner school. So what happened was, like, he did his first standard in a regular school. I think it was, I don't even remember, maybe CBSE or ICSE. I don't remember now. It's years ago.
Yeah.
And when I came across Steiner's work and alternative schooling, both me and my husband decided that I think we should give this to our children.
Mm-hmm.
So, and especially I though cannot bear the regular rigmarole of the regular system.
Right.
Because I don't think pressure, you know, creates great, it's not great education as for me.
Mm-hmm.
So we put him in an alternative school. And till 7, 8, he was there in that school. And then mm-hmm. he had to transition to CBSE.
Right.
He found it very difficult. He repeated first. So first of all, he would tell me, I'm the oldest in my class and you unnecessarily wasted 1 year of time. That's mm-hmm. one complaint. Second is, you made me struggle during the transition because everybody knew physics formula, this, that, and the other. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes 10th. He cracks it. He gets some 95%. He said, I don't exactly.
He
got great marks.
Yeah, this is the epitome of, like, cool parenting. I don't know how much my kid scored in 10th grade. Like, I have no idea.
Something.
But he got great marks.
No. I mean, yeah. So he did that. And then when I saw his mark, I said, okay, he wants science. He chose science. He said, I'm good in maths. He's very good in maths. But then he gets 100 out of 100. He's a champ. For me, it's like, I'm in awe of him getting these sparks. Because in my life, I've never got it. So now, when he's finishing second semester in his engineering, and he got through a great institute as well. So he tells me now that I'm glad I went to Steiner School. Because I see people have come here after so much of pressure. And people have taken drop years. I haven't. I repeated first grade. And I enjoyed in that school. People have stayed in quota and this and that. And they have really gone through the grind and have come here. Now I'm happy. So, yeah. First of all, the child is very mature. I must give it to him. Mm-hmm. He's very mature.
Mm-hmm.
And he's able to reflect on the experience and what he has gained. And I just feel so blessed being a mother of these children.
I like that you brought up self-reflection because I think the environment for that has to be fostered at home. Everybody doesn't learn that. You're taught that. And conditioning is what teaches you that. So only if you've been exposed to self-reflection can you practice it. So I think I'm sure that has come from the environment at home.
Yeah. Yeah. Because from day one, I would ask him to journal. Okay. And for me, journal is just, it's an easy way to bring about self-reflection.
Mm-hmm.
Second is that in school also, they would tell him to journal. You know, in an alternative school. So journaling was a period. It was a class.
So that's very interesting. Can you talk about the Steiner School for our listeners? I'm sure everybody will be a little bit more curious to know what this alternate school is.
Yeah, sure. So the whole concept of the alternative school is it starts not with the head learning. It starts with hands. 0 to 7, you learn everything with your hands, which means you don't write. You experience. It's all experiential. You learn everything experiential.
Okay.
When you enter 7 years, which is grade one,
mm-hmm.
is the aspect of the heart. So you do the hands, heart, and then the head comes from 14 to 21. So it's all 7 year periods.
Okay.
So what happens is that you've learned with the heart, which means you know how to apply your kinesthetic intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Then you apply your emotional intelligence. Today, I train people in corporates mm-hmm. on emotional intelligence. But in the school, this environment is providing. So they learn how to, the curriculum is designed based on emotional intelligence. When you experience the polarity, I hate you and I love you, how to resolve that? The curriculum provides it. They do knitting, they do stitching, they do clay, they do pottery. They do different methodologies in order to help you resolve your emotional crisis.
Wow. Okay.
So and then when you come to 14, you know, 14 to 21, you graduate to looking at, now understand the concept and why something is the way it is. So now bring your head. So it's a very reverse way to what general schooling is, where you learn every concept in your head. But have you really learned? Do you really know it? And do you really love the learning? So if I see Aditya, he knows a lot of concepts. He cannot mug up.
Huh, okay.
Because
yeah.
He's learned everything experientially. So because it's experiential, self-reflection is also a part of it. I mean, my parent-teacher meeting, I quit my job because the Steiner School, his class teacher said that your child is acting out and you need to give more time. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the outer reason why I quit. But the inner reason was I had to go on my developmental journey. So there's a big story behind it. But so reflection is a very critical part of this whole curriculum also.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, I'm a reflective person.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, I realized that if I'm not reflecting on who I am being, I always project it on the children and say, they are not okay or they are not perfect.
Right.
Yeah. And I didn't want that to happen because they must enjoy their childhood and they must grow up to know who they are in the core of their being.
Correct.
So because I shifted, I saw that, you know, they were peaceful to a large extent. I mean, of course, I have inflicted a lot on them with my anger and all of that. When I'm not happy with myself,
right.
When I'm not happy with who I am, it will go on my children also because they are an extension of me. So it's a very complex process. You know what I realized? Very innocently, I said, I need to have two children.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very innocent, maybe kiddish, and a naive statement that I made in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But today, if I were to look back, Aishwarya, I say that without these two children in my life, I don't think my evolution was possible. They made me stop. They made me reflect. You know, when I shouted at my younger son, he would cringe. And looking at that, I realized, oh my God, I need to do something. There is a problem in me, not in that child. I can't be a bully just right. because I have the power of being a mother and older. So I had to speak that truth to myself. And there are times when I've told both of them, I'm not perfect. I know Amma is breaking down because I'm not able to handle it. Please pardon me. So it has been a quite a tough journey. It's not easy.
See, this is making me think, right? Okay, so if you don't mind me asking, at what age did you become a mother?
Me, 7 first.
27. So your first child was well after 25, which is when people say that the prefrontal cortex has completed its development. Now, I have a friend. My mother became a mother at the same age, around 27. And my friend, who is my age, her mom was about 21 or 22 when she had her.
Right.
And she told me that it's very different when you see that there is an evolved lady, a mature lady who has become a mother versus somebody who's still very young and hasn't had the time and the resources to completely understand herself before she has to start caring for a child.
For another,
yeah. Right? Yeah. So I think that kind of reflects in your experience as well, because it's not easy for a normal person also, but then again, you have the backing of your education and understanding human psychology and behavior as to be able to reflect on yourself. And I think that comes with age a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was 27, when I had my first child, I don't think I was ready. Honestly, I was so dumb. I was so nice. I think when I was 37 is when truly I understood. Like everything else, my husband played a very important role in mothering them. Why, you know, why my husband is not a mother, but you know, every human being has the masculine and
the feminine. Yes.
I learned a lot from him, honestly, because he is an equal partner in bringing up my children.
Yes.
Okay. And I would not take the credit away from it. I learned a lot about mothering in a very balanced manner from him. I had my own positives, you know, but I had a lot of anger. So then I'm wondering, age defies it because I should be more mature, but I wasn't. It was very hard. I don't know. 37 is when I quit my work at that time. I had more mind space and time to reflect. And then I saw a therapist. So for 10 years, I was in therapy. And I worked very, very deeply on my wounds, my traumas of my childhood. Because what would happen is that when I was mothering, my child would defy and would say that, no, they would say. And I would tell myself, I never said no to my mother. How can you say no?
Correct.
Because I had wounds of my childhood. I had to work on that. So that process happened from 37. Yeah, today I'm 48. And I became a conscious mother, I would say 35 onwards. So my younger son has the benefit of my consciousness much more than my
older. More than Aditya.
Yeah. He has definitely borne my brunt lesser than my elder one.
Yeah, all older ones bear that burden.
Yeah.
I think you get into the groove of parenthood after.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Correct. And but I'll tell you, children, they really pardon. I think they're the most beautiful beings on earth. Mm-hmm. And as I see it, I almost have tears in my eyes because I just feel like, I think without them, my life is incomplete. No? I'm nothing without my children. I'm actually nothing. I mean, Aditya left. I came back and I didn't feel like an empty nester. People say it's because I have another one. But I feel like each child plays their role. It's not one can replace the other.
Yeah.
But you know, in my heart, he's so alive that I don't feel he's gone away.
Very profound way to put it. That's so nice. Okay, so let me change tracks over here. You did mention that you've missed milestones in your kids' lives. Can you give an example of what you missed? And you already did say that you felt very guilty about it. How did you deal with that guilt? That is number one. Number two, have you ever given up anything that was particularly enticing in your professional life because you chose to spend that time or the resources or the energy on your children instead?
So your first question was, how did I deal with the guilt when I missed milestones?
Yeah.
See, I don't in particular remember many things actually. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when I was at work, my mother-in-law would tell me that, you know, the first word was uttered. I don't remember those milestones. I don't remember many things, actually. I have a book, memory book, where, you know, until I was with them, you know, I think the first 3 months with my, you know, older child, I had written every day, like the conversation with him. That memory I have. 3 months ke baad, I had to go to Dubai for a recruitment assignment. So I told them, my son is very young, I can't go. I remember my boss telling me that children will grow up, you'll not get this chance again. It was a very tough moment because I am ambitious. Mm. I'm very ambitious. And secondly, traveling the world is something very important.
Right.
I really love to travel.
Right.
So here was an opportunity to go to Dubai and travel, but my child is 4 months old.
Mm.
So it was really a pull and push. Mm-hmm. Of course, I had my mother-in-law, my husband, who were active parents, actually quasi-parents, and who did a great job. Huge guilt. I went there and I did my work. I also extended by 1-2 days to look around the place. Now, having gone to Dubai, who will come back without all that? But when I came back, I got a nice elephant, you know, and when I came back and I gave my child, I could see him playing with it. I think my whole inner being was so happy saying that, yes, I missed, you know, that period, but I made him happy.
Right.
And the same thing happened when my younger son was born. It's strange, but I had to go to Dubai once again.
Okay.
Another recruitment experience. I went to the same mall, bought toy for him. But how I managed my second delivery was that I was very clear. I want to be on a 6 month break. I'm not okay with dreams. So I negotiated because it's the same organization. I'd been in that organization for many years.
Long time.
And, you know, I had that leeway. I could negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
So 6 months. And then I said, do I really want to go back? I didn't feel like leaving my child. My boss told me that you take 1 more month off. So I was at home for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I made up for it. Like I really felt good being at home.
Okay.
And being with my child. Mm-hmm. And then recognizing that I am not a be at home mom. I think I have far more things beyond just being a mother. Just being a mother was not enough for me. It couldn't satisfy me.
That's very eye-opening because I think a lot of times, once you're a mother, your self-worth becomes attached to that one role in your life.
Yeah.
Right. And then whether internally or externally, I'm sure there's a lot of pressure from people around you who constantly say, oh, you're not around your kids or you're not doing enough for your kids or whatever. And then that, I am sure, plays up in your psyche at some point or the other, in one way or the other. Plus, you've been conditioned all your life to play the role of the present mother, to, you know, all our lives become boiled down to what you can do for your child. So I'm sure that that realization hit really hard, that I'm not meant to be a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah. And the other thing is that, no, you know, the environment, that my house environment is a very positive environment. It was always like that. It was a very nurturing environment for the children. Mm-hmm. And I think they have become what they had become because of this household, not just because of me. It is everyone together which has made them who they are.
Yeah, like they say, it takes a village.
Space.
Yeah, like just. Yeah, it takes a village.
Does. It takes a village. And this village has been very nurturing. And not nurturing not just to them, even to me. Nobody's ever asked why do you go to work. Nobody has questioned me. Nobody has questioned me why do you travel. I've never been questioned. I'm just too lucky. You know, I'm just so gifted to be in this household.
That's really nice. That's a wonderful way to put it. Okay, now I have a very interesting and very important question. What has been your most empowering moment or your most cherished moment as a working mom? Can you think of anything that where you said that normal stay-at-home moms will not have this experience and I am just blessed to have had this particular experience?
One thing that I can think of is the outside-in perspective. As a stay-at-home mom, I would have given them the nurturing. Yeah. So the inside would have been protected.
Mm-hmm.
But what would have been missing was the outside perspective. No? Because I go outside and I work, I know how the world moves. I know a fact that just study is not enough. You have to be smart. You have to be street smart. You need to live in this world. How would I get that? Because I have been in that world. So to make a child ready for that world doesn't mean they have to just get A+ in academics, you know, giving them that exposure to really looking at what can they pick up. For example, my younger son, he's into shooting,
right?
And then he can choose his path. He doesn't need to follow the regular path of, you know, going to science and engineering, this and that. He can choose his path. So for me, I think, I come with far more openness because I've seen the world far more than I would have seen if I was at home. And the other thing is that people ask them, what does your mom do? So my oldest son says she's an entrepreneur. I think there is pride in that.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't have, you know, he wouldn't have got that if I was not doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, unquestionably. Yeah. And you're right. Being able to bring an outside perspective where you actually see what is valued in the corporate world or in the real world, as opposed to, you know, a mom that is admittedly very present at home, but still unaware of how things go around in the world outside.
Yes.
I think it's priceless. That's invaluable information and invaluable perspective to bring in.
But to assure you, today I'm telling you I'm proud of myself. I know of times, I tell you, you know, when I was 38, 39, 40, there were times when I used to say, what a horrible mom I am. And I would compare myself with many other moms who were working or stay-at-home moms, but who I would feel like do so much more. They are more available for their children, or they are able to have a deeper bond with them in different ways, you know. Today when I look at it, it was my insecurity. It was not the whole truth. It was this belief of I'm not good enough, which was coming even in the space of parenting and mothering. And those times, you know, I would never be happy. Parenting or mothering was like a task. It was like a checklist. Which will always have a black mark. You know, it would never have a green mark, and I would never say, yes, I did it well. So today, you know, I would say, yeah, I've done a pretty good job. And I would have my friends who look at me and see the number of things I do for them, mm-hmm. who tell me, hardly moms do this. Mm-hmm. But I've not met those moms, you know, who don't do. So I don't have a comparison. Hmm. So this comparison, no, is the biggest one I feel. And when there is guilt added to comparison, is a, like a mirch masala.
Hmm.
And then God, you know, the relationship I have also will not be maintained. So it's like termite, you know. If I don't clearly understand that, and I don't stop that comparison,
hmm.
and this feeling of I'm good enough, I'm not perfect, but who says I need to be perfect? I'm good enough.
Right. Wow, I think these are things that you battle on an everyday basis. And to think that they come into the realm of motherhood is pretty scary. Because then you're responsible for not just yourself, but also for two children who are entirely dependent on you.
You know, I have stopped thinking that I'm responsible for them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think 38, 39, something like that. I attended this 3-year certification called Human Biography.
Okay.
So it allows me to study, again, it's Steiner's work only.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to know about it through because my children were in a Steiner school, I came to know about it.
Right.
And it says that how can you study your life in 7-year periods? It was a certification. So what I understood is that every, you know, human being comes for a reason. And the reason is to fulfill their purpose.
Correct.
Which means that if my child has taken birth in my womb, it is to fulfill my purpose and theirs. So then who am I being to say I'm responsible? I am who I am. You know, I'm responsible, but everything is not my responsibility. If they're going through hardships because of me, they've signed up for it because they need to learn a lesson from this. This eased me because if I'm, let's say, angry at him, he chose my womb now. So he had signed up for this.
Mm.
If I shift, he signed up for that. So what happens is, what does he learn? He learns that I'm in the world of polarity. There's anger and there is love. Both exist. Sometimes anger can exist. Sometimes love can exist. But one state is not present. Isn't that what you and I live in? We live in a world of polarity, yeah?
Yeah.
So that is what they're signing up for. And I, as a mother, I am the training ground for them. So who am I to take so much responsibility and accountability?
Very interesting.
But if they go through a struggle, I am their unconditional. And my children know that I will hold their spine no matter what.
Right.
So that's something I've signed up for. I have signed up because that is what I recognize. But
right.
they have their own life. They have their own struggles.
Hmm.
And I am nobody to bail them out of it. I will hold their spine. They have to bail themselves out. Because that's what they signed up for in this birth. So this perspective brought me this whole relief. You know, that I'm doing as much. And the rest is their battle too.
Wow, that's quite a perspective to have. I'm sure that if people who hear it and are able to actually connect with what you say, a lot of their guilt will also be eased. Yeah. I hope people actually take away the positive from here.
But yeah, this is not, doesn't mean that you can keep doing whatever you want to do.
No, of
still
course.
Have to be like, conscious.
I mean, the fact that you have birthed two children, that also means that you have signed up for a good amount of their well-being, right? To raise them, to, you know, ensure that they are provided with the right kind of values and morals and nutrition and things like that. So that is part of your karma.
Yes.
So you can't shirk that.
Yes. You can't shirk that. Hmm. But there is their karma also to make a choice to be my child.
Yes.
And they live that too.
Right.
So it's a very empowering perspective. And holding this perspective really made me a conscious parent. I know when some fusion is not working for him.
Mm-hmm.
I know it. But, and I'll tell him, I can see it. But until he tells me, I'm not going to take an action. Correct.
Because he has to go through the struggle. And then when it comes, he'll say, oh, it is not working.
And then he has to learn to, you know, recognize voice that it. Something is not working and voice it. Yeah.
Ask for help.
Yeah.
Correct. Ask for help. Mm-hmm. So I will, because I can see it, sense it, I know it. But I'm not going to bail him out. Because I won't take responsibility beyond what I'm supposed to. He has to go through it. Its struggle is good. Mm-hmm. Because that's when he'll become a butterfly.
Correct.
And I don't have a problem if he struggles. I have the emotional holding and grounding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To even hold the struggle that he's going through.
Correct. Right. Wow. This has been such a lovely talk. And I can't believe it's gone on for this long. I didn't even realize that we just continued talking. And it's been such a wonderful conversation. And do you have any last bit of advice for young mothers, working mothers, or women who want to be mothers?
Okay. It's not coming really off the hand, but for women who want to become mothers, connect with this intention of, it's a very beautiful process, and very consciously. I think the one word that I can think of is be conscious at every stage, whether you want to be a mother or you're already a mother. Or you've been a mother for years and you know, still struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no training program to be a mother. So struggle is there.
Mm-hmm.
That struggle is a cause of expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Motherhood is expansion. It's an expansion of your being. Your a part of you in your arms, that itself is an expansion of you, even physically.
Right.
And even inside your heart. Mm-hmm. So hold that intention that I'm stepping into this as a process of evolution in my life. Prepare for it in your mind. It's much easier. And the second thing is, those who are a mother, again, in terms of consciousness, reach out for help. Reach out for those who are at a next level in their whole process to really ask for help, because what you're going through, they would have gone through.
Right.
And there could be different perspectives, and you don't have to struggle with it all alone.
Right.
I can definitely leave my contacts, you know, when the episode is out. And if you have to reach out to me, you know, if you have a struggle, then I would be open to hear and share my perspective, because I've figured a lot of things by myself, and I'm willing to share and hold space for those who need.
That is brilliant. Thank you so much. And yes, listeners, I will link all of Deepa's contact information in the show notes below. So please do reach out to her if you want to have a discussion about motherhood or leadership, because that's what Deepa Mahesh does. She is a leadership coach and a facilitator. So please do reach out to her if that is something that you would like to explore about yourself and grow in that area. So do that.
I just want to say something, you know, to close here, that when I was struggling in my motherhood, it had impact in my leadership role. Because I'm not separate. I'm one person coming home and the same person going to office. So mothering, parenthood, and leadership are very related. So you may say that in leadership I'm not doing well, I'm not able to focus, because there I'm struggling. So it's like you remove one thorn and you're able to walk smoothly, because that thorn was under your feet and it was not allowing you to walk smoothly.
Right.
So very rightly, as you said, Aishwarya, if you want to reach out for parenting, motherhood, or leadership, and maybe we find a connection together.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to put it. But with that, I want to close and say thank you so much for your time. It has been such a lovely conversation, very insightful, very intriguing, and honestly, it brings in exactly what I started this podcast for, which is different and various perspectives. So thank you for such a wonderful episode.
Thank you very much. And I really enjoyed recalling my moments of joy, struggle, happiness, and all of it. Thank you for this opportunity.
All right. And listeners, I hope you really enjoyed it. I hope you took something away from it. And please feel free to reach out to Deepa for motherhood and me for anything else that you'd like to discuss.
But with that, I will see you all in the next one. Bye-bye.